This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
So we're talking to Robert Powell about this Chilean Navy sighting, a video.
And I have a question.
Sure.
Because you did have proximity data between the helicopter and the object, what was the size of the object determined to be?
The calculated size of the object that I came up with is really based on the distance. So when I answer your question, It depends on how far away the object is. So if the object is the commercial aircraft, an Iberia flight that we see on radar, then the object, based on the video, would be at 200 feet in size, which matches up with the approximate size of a commercial airliner.
Now, what's very interesting here is the skeptics jumped on this immediately as soon as the Huffington Post story came out from Leslie. What was going on there? What were they claiming?
Well, of course, anytime you get an exciting, interesting UFO report, the skeptics. You know, I don't even use the word skeptics, Gene, because I'm a skeptic. You're always skeptical when you first look at something, but I think of them more as debunkers because they have a specific thought in mind before they look at something. In other words, they've already decided what this must be, and so then they go about trying to establish that. So if you look at some of their various sites, it's done on blogs or social media, and it's very difficult to follow the reasoning and how they're doing their analysis because it jumps around in chronological order. It's not like a science report where you start at the beginning and you go through, you know, what something is or is not and then run through everything clearly so anyone can follow what's being done. And most of these debunker cases, it's kind of a hodgepodge the way they approach something. In this particular case, for example, there was one a person on a blog and it started off saying, oh, I think it's this airplane. No, after looking at this, now I've decided it's this airplane. I think maybe it's both airplanes. And no, now I'm going back to saying it's this airplane. So it's very difficult to follow.
Was there anything unusual about the fact that, if I remember correctly, because I'm not sure if I've seen the whole video, but maybe highlights, I seem to remember that the object apparently created this hot trail, then the trail stopped, the object carried on moving, and then the trail continued. But I couldn't really tell as to whether the plane had decreased much in altitude between the two positions, and I was unsure as to whether the Chileans were moving themselves when filming. Would that be behavior consistent with the exhaust of a normal jet, that it may go through, you know, different pressure areas or whatever, and, you know, sometimes it emit a lot of hot exhaust and then not? Because it makes me think of, like, you know, an F-15 pilot could put on the afterburners and that's going to have a big difference to the heat out the back. But I'm not too sure as to why there would be such a radical difference of black trail, very hot, nothing for a while, black trail again. Is that consistent with normal aircraft?
Well, that's a good question, Cogs. I mean, when I've seen contrails, right, I'm looking at it in the visible. And, you know, sometimes you can see an aircraft where you get a contrail that's clear. The contrail disappears for a while, and then the contrail picks back up again. I've seen that. The question here, which is kind of what you have alluded to, is what would it look like in the IR, and why would it be generating heat? I have not seen what a plane's contrail looks like in the IR. And so far, I have not found a good example where someone has photographed a plane with a contrail at high altitude in the IR. There's got to be one somewhere. But that's one of the things that I'm looking for in doing this analysis, because we can theorize, right, that when the contrail comes out, that you have ice formation, which is what allows you to see it, and as the water freezes, when water freezes, it generates a little bit of heat around it. Now, whether or not that would generate the type of darkness that we see in the video, at this point in time, you know, we're just speculating. So that's something that needs to be done before we conclusively say that, you know, this object is a commercial jet.
Yeah, because you would think that the pilot and the flare operator, if they're using this equipment regularly, they must, you know, film normal aircraft and helicopters and whatever, anything that's got in the air that's got an exhaust. They must be filming these, quite numerous times and maybe at different altitudes and distances and stuff. And I wonder if maybe that was part of why it interested them, because I'm sure it occurred to them they may just be looking at a kind of at a rear angle at a plane going away from them that, I don't know, is maybe accelerating at one point or whatever, and that's why the exhaust is hotter and then stops or whatever. But maybe there was something in it that ticked them off that this isn't quite normal, because it doesn't seem to be a gradation of temperature. It seems to be kind of just in terms of visually constant temperature, stops for a while, and then kind of comes back at that temperature. And I'm no expert at all, but I would have thought with normal aircraft, you know, it's not like you cut the engines at all. You're going to have to keep pushing no matter what. You may reduce the throttle, but you would still think it's going to be pumping out noticeable heat.
Right. Your thought there, Goggs, is exactly the same as mine as I analyze this. You know, why would these Navy pilots who have to be seen with their IR system jets with contrails all the time, right? Why did they not suspect that was the case? And I always give them the benefit of the doubt, right? I have to assume, because it's logical to think these guys should know what they're looking at, right? That I'm not willing to say, okay, this was absolutely a commercial jet until I complete the analysis. Well, debunkers, right, their goal is just to prove that, you know, this is something, not an unidentified object. So they don't even take into account or even discuss, well, don't these Navy pilots see this all the time? I mean, I think you have to give witnesses a certain amount of credence before you just automatically assume, you know, that they're incorrect.
So in short, it's basically saying it is unreal, it is conventional, now prove me wrong.
Right, yeah, that's kind of the way they look at it when they analyze it, rather than just saying, okay, let me go through a step-by-step procedure and analyze what's happened and look at all aspects of it.
In that extent, the skeptics have learned nothing from that approach taken by Dr. Donald Menzel in the 50s. You know, he was doing the same thing. He was saying, well, it's a mirage, it's this, and maybe he'll look at the facts.
Oh, exactly. Menzel was one of the worst.
I once saw him on a TV show, by the way, called Open Mind, no relation to Open Minds, the current site. And he came on there with John G. Fuller. And I think they were talking about incident at Exeter. And it was clear that Menzel knew nothing about the case. You can probably download the video or the audio. And Fuller would be discussing specific parts of the case, and Menzel would be talking in generalities, knowing nothing about it. And at one point, he just looked totally confused, totally befuddled, like he barely knew he was there. And I guess at the time, my friends and I joked that he had kind of an Alzheimer's moment, because he was quite an old guy as a result. But that's a story we don't have to cover right now. We have Robert Powell, We have Gogs McKay as our guest panelist with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we continue with Robert Powell. Now, when you compare the Chilean Navy video, you're talking about a video using the same kind of equipment in Puerto Rico. Was it 2013, right?
Yes, correct.
Can you tell us about that case?
Yes, I can. And I'd like to start off, Gene, by saying something you mentioned a little bit earlier during this broadcast. The Chileans were open to providing their information so that we have it. That's totally opposite of what happens in the United States.
Right.
For example, in the case of the Puerto Rican video, we obtained the video from an anonymous source who was part of Homeland Security, but did not want his name released because he didn't want it to affect his job. We asked for radar data, and we actually were able to get it from an FAA site, but we can't get radar data from a military site. So that's not available. You can't get the military to really comment on the video one way or another. So that's different from the Chileans. The whole process, it makes you wonder sometimes just how free our society really is, because we don't get that type of cooperation with the government on any type of UFO incident.
Of course, officially the government does not investigate UFOs anymore.
Correct. They don't investigate it, but by the Freedom of Information Act, they are required to provide us information which is for the benefit of the public, you know, when we request it. But it's very difficult to get them to provide, for example, a gun camera view of an object that you're trying to get. And it's not that that's a national security issue, right? I mean, we're not asking them to provide gun camera view of a Soviet MiG as they fly near one. We're just asking for gun camera view of things that occur within the continental United States most of the time. And it's next to impossible to get any of that.
With the Puerto Rican case, is it known who was taking the footage, what kind of aircraft or station, and what they may have originally been tasked with? Because just being a viewer seeing that footage, it struck me that it's quite a prolonged kind of shot, and it's so obvious that the operator is, you know, this has caught his attention and he's homed in on it, because he goes through several pans and zooms and, you know, follows this thing for quite a while, as if it completely took his attention away from what he might have been doing prior. He could have just been free time, you know, time in this, you know, looking at this. But again, it kind of looks as if whoever was filming this originally, they thought, this is strange, I'm going to pursue this, because, again, you would think they would be familiar with the heat signature, maybe of birds, balloons, what small aircraft, whatever. And this is the one in which the object appears to go into the water and come out again. Is that correct?
Yes, it's the most amazing part about it is how it goes into the water with very little movement in the water. We can detect very slight, but almost none. And then it comes out of the water, still at considerably high speed. By high speed, I'm talking about 50 to 60 miles an hour as it moves out of the water. And the most amazing thing in the video is where the object splits in half. And we went and analyzed that in very deep detail. So that's probably the most spectacular part of that video.
Have you finished your analysis on the Puerto Rican case, and what did you conclude? Just like it was an unknown, or?
Well, we're still analyzing the Puerto Rico case, because every once in a while we get new information. We had a technician who works on this exact IR system contact us and ask us about the video, because he took this video, and he and the technicians that he works with, they actually calibrate and repair these exact systems for Homeland Security. And all these guys looked at it, and they said they had no idea what this object was. We spent a year and a half analyzing that video before we finally released it. And the very first thing we did, because, right, this was an anonymous source. I mean, we know the name of the source. But the very first thing we did was, okay, let's verify this video is real. Because today, you know, there's so much you can do with computer graphics and everything. It seemed real, but we wanted to double check. So once we got the radar data, we did the same thing that I did on this Chilean video. We actually picked up the Homeland Security flight on the radar. So we knew that pilot was there, just like they said they were. And we verified its location, which matched up with what you see on the video, because the video tells you the location of the Homeland Security aircraft as it's flying around Puerto Rico.
Were there any ground witnesses, eyewitnesses?
No, there were no other than the only witnesses were the pilots and the men on the aircraft. And then, according to them, the control tower was also a witness because they saw the red light that the object was initially emitting when it was coming in towards Puerto Rico. The other thing we know that kind of verifies what this pilot told us was that the control tower stopped any flights coming in and out because they had an object approaching the island and it did not have a transponder, which means that, you know, and it's not signaling to the tower. So to be, you know, that I think that's pretty standard operation. Then they shut down planes leaving and landing. Now, this airport doesn't have a lot of aircraft, but we were able to determine that there was a FedEx plane whose flight out was delayed during this same time frame. So that kind of matches in with what this pilot is telling us. We also, and this kind of goes back to trying to get information from the government, right? We contacted the FAA and we asked for the control tower logs. Well, they replied back, we don't have control of those. We hire that out to a private company, which is called Robinson Aviation, and it's headquartered in Memphis, Tennessee. And of course, when you try to contact them, they don't respond and they don't have to because not being a government organization, they are not required to answer FOIA requests. So that's another way that our government organizations get around having to answer a FOIA simply by hiring a private company to handle their information.
I'm going to ask you, Robert, to respond in the next segment here, whether it's possible that if there's a UFO secret, it has been sent out to private industry so the governments can use plausible deniability, saying we don't investigate UFOs, we have no information to offer because they pushed it off somewhere else. We've got more to come with Robert Powell and Gene, Chris, and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated fountain of youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free samples specifically for our conservative friends. All they ask is that you chip in a few bucks to cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. That's greens75.com. greens75.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Robert Powell, we have two more seconds to spend with you on this week's episode of the Paracast. My question there about funneling critical UFO information, stuff that may have some significance, off to private industry somewhere so the government is out of the business.
Yeah, that's a good question, Gene. My experience with the government is most of the time, the most common response I get from them is, we have no information responsive to your request, which basically, when you think about that, what does that mean? We have no information responsive to your request. So they're basically just saying, we don't want to tell you anything.
And the word responsive to your request is so ambiguous.
Exactly. You know, when you see that same statement come from multiple government agencies, it becomes very clear that an attorney that works for them drew that up, and someone has given multiple agencies that line to use in their Freedom of Information Act reply, because that's not just coincidence. Your question, I suspect that there probably are some, you know, large military-industrial type complex areas where industry may investigate UFOs instead of the government. And, I mean, historically that has happened with Battelle and Lincoln Labs.
So how do you actually uncover a secret then?
The ones I've seen uncovered on Freedom of Information Act requests usually occur because someone just makes a mistake and accidentally releases a document. That's one way it happens. The second way that sometimes it will occur is if someone pushes the government on a particular request. And to do that, your first act is to basically appeal to the head organization. And of course, they will deny your request just like the initial request. So then your last option is to take it to federal court and sue for the information. And that's an expensive procedure unless you get, you know, an attorney who will do it pro bono. But there has been some success on occasion using that route.
Is that what just happened with the release of the all those CIA files, that someone took it to court to force them to release them?
Yes, that's correct, Goggs. That has just happened. I don't recall the name of the organization that did it, and actually that's on my list of things to do, is to see what new CIA documents have been released because of that.
Yeah, and going back to the Puerto Rico case quickly, can you remember what was the best that the debunkers could come up with for their explanations? I'm sure I heard birds and Chinese lanterns, which both of them kind of don't really fly in terms of, as you were saying, especially going in the water, because any animal that we know that can go from the sky into the water, they're usually going to stop their forward speed, maybe dive down or whatever. But bottom line is, when they come back up to the surface, they're having to start from scratch again, not kind of exit the water at 50 miles an hour or whatever you said it was. So the explanations that I heard from debunkers didn't fit with me. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. And one thing we've asked debunkers, if you have an argument as to that explains what this is, write up a report and, you know, and publish it. We've asked that for a year and a half now, because that's what we did. We wrote a report, published it. That has yet to been done by the debunkers. What one of their favorite arguments was, right, because you see this object go into the water, is, well, it didn't really go into the water. It went into the clouds and it just disappeared. So, of course, the response that we had is, really? So why does the camera allow the object to disappear, but the waves in the ocean have not disappeared? Right? I mean, my camera can't make one object disappear while the other objects stay visible. So once we, you know, we replied with that, so they always come back with, okay, well, let's see, what can we say then? So they come back and they say, oh, well, maybe the camera is at the limits of its capability, and so that's what's happening. So, of course, the response is, well, really? So you've got a camera at the limits of its capability, and the object disappears, but the waves are still there. I mean, what camera does that? You know, it would be like taking my regular Canon camera and taking a picture of an object, and this bird disappears and the trees are still there, and someone says, oh, well, that was your camera losing focus on the birds, but the trees are still there. I mean, it's just crazy, some of the stuff they'll come up with.
It would be interesting and refreshing just to hear them once, debunkers. You know, I agree with the difference in definition with skeptics and debunkers, but it would be interesting if they just for once said, we can't explain it. And they could leave it at that. And that's not admitting it's high, strange, UFO, whatever. But if they could just admit maybe that they cannot either, you know, explain it. But they never do. They just trot off one answer after another.
Absolutely, and that's my point too. I'm on the same page with you on that, Cogs. If they're truly a skeptic and not a debunker, and they're just trying to understand something, then that's where they would have to leave it. Is, well, we don't have an explanation.
It's interesting too that, you know, even though of your position in MUFON, a well-known organization, you're not starting the investigation of these cases saying, this is definitely a flying saucer and I'm going to prove it. You're looking at it, trying to not cross off theories of what it could be. Can you correlate this with that, whatever? And, you know, at the end of it, you may say, yeah, we can't explain this, kind of great. It's really quite sad, really, because a lot of the debunkers have scientific credentials, but they are totally going into it with saying, we are going to explain this away without, you know, it's that classic line. It should be investigating the unexplained, not explaining the uninvestigated. I think that's one of Stanton Friedman's treatments.
Yeah, Stanton has some good phrases that kind of encapsulates some of those concepts. But, to one thing you noted, most debunkers I've run into don't have scientific backgrounds. Here's what I always say about a true debunker, and I've asked some of them this. It's like, okay, myself personally, right? I have no desire to understand Bigfoot. I don't believe in Bigfoot, and you could probably never convince me, right? But I don't spend my life on Bigfoot websites and Bigfoot blogs arguing with people trying to convince them that Bigfoot doesn't exist. I mean, why would I do that? You know, just from a psychological viewpoint, why would you do that? Unless life is very sad, if that's what you have to do.
Some sort of messianic martyrdom process.
Exactly, yeah.
They need to get a life, folks.
That's right. I mean, do something you enjoy rather than try to spend all your time on something that you hate.
Well, I guess they do enjoy this, you know. If you want to look at the psychology of a debunker, they have to enjoy it to spend all that time doing it. And maybe this is giving them some kind of status, or they may feel that they are accomplishing something for the public good.
There's religious fervor involved.
Well, yeah, it plays on both ends of it. Listen, guys, we have only about a segment left, so I want to move this along, and maybe we have a very quick couple of questions for our next segment. But one question I want to leave on the table with our final segment with you, Robert, is since we're hopefully on the Paracast getting away from the older cases such as Roswell, if we want to consider one or two or three big cases from the modern UFO era, I'd say the last 5 or 10 years, what would you come up with if you were asked about it? The most compelling cases, Robert. More to come with Gene, Chris, Goggs, and Robert. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The following is an incredible, life-changing, free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-719-4926. Call now and you'll also qualify for free shipping. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear things crisply and clearly, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so small and discreet, people usually don't even notice you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear things more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial and free shipping. If you like it, you could even get free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-719-4926. That's 1-800-719-4926. 1-800-719-4926.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So in our final segment with Robert Powell of MUFON, if you're asked two or three key cases, the most compelling evidence of recent years, forgetting about all the stuff from the 70s and 60s and 50s and 40s, what would you suggest?
The ones I would mention, Gene, one would be Stephenville, and another one is one that we just finished investigating and actually still are, that occurred in Ontario, Canada in the fall of 2013. And it's basically a case where you have three hunters who are out in the middle of nowhere. They see a barbell-shaped object, and they estimate its height at 400 feet, and it's about 400 feet away from them. And their camera stops working. Their video camera only partially works. What's unique about this case is the main witness of these three hunters is actually a research scientist who owns his own company and has contracts with the Department of Defense. So this guy spent 3 to 4 minutes observing this object actually through the scopes of the rifle. They were out hunting black bear. He's just looking at it through his rifle scope for about 3 minutes, taking notes, and he's become enamored on trying to figure out what this object is. And I flew up to meet the guy to see his R&D lab because I wanted to make sure this guy was for real, right? You know, this wasn't some joker just making things up. And I verified, you know, that he works with the government. I verified his company. I verified the patents he has. And this guy has plenty of money, so it's not like he needs money. That is an interesting case.
This guy with the company, do you know if he had an opinion one way or the other about the subject of UFOs before this, and that maybe his opinion was changed or his mind was opened up a little to possibilities?
I asked him that question, Cogs, and he said that he'd always thought that it's likely that there's life out in the rest of the universe, but he said he had never really thought too much about the UFO topic, per se, until he had this event occur. And now he can't stop thinking about it.
Something like that will definitely, it'll really make you pause and reassess go very quickly. Before we go, I wanted to ask you about your involvement with Leslie Keene and Mark Roediger's UFO Data Project. We had both of them on the show about a year ago and offered to try to help them out, and They never really followed up on their professed interest in my San Luis Valley camera project. Where is that project right now? I see that you're affiliated with it. Have they made any progress? Where are they at in their process?
No, I don't think we've made good progress in the last year. I think the driving factor on it is two things. One, we need a software package that basically will work with the cameras and that can be tied in through the internet and that can recognize objects in the sky that are moving, not moving. I know that sounds simple, but when you start talking about cloud that moves, a leaf that falls, an insect that goes by.
Yeah, we've been working on that particular aspect of tweaking RealShot Manager, which is a surveillance record on detect motion, record on motion.
And
we've got the software, which it's open source. If you're willing to use it, we can give it to you. So, I mean, there are ways to work around all that. And this is what I was explaining to them, and I'm surprised they never followed up and really spoke to me. As you probably know, through Jan, that we've been working kind of loosely with you guys out there in Orange County and stuff. We really have made a lot of progress, and we do have an operational detect on motion software package now.
Yeah, I think the second thing I was going to say, Chris, is probably the other thing is I think we really need a project manager. For example, I don't have time myself to manage the project, but I think it because there's so many different people that are part of it. And that's what I think it requires. I think it's similar to UFO TOG, which, Turnbull and Mark D'Antonio are doing.
Right.
I think we need a project manager that just pull all those things together. One thing you'll probably get a kick out of this, the guy that I just told you about on the dumbbell, UFO.
Up in Canada.
Yeah. He brought up that issue to me about a month ago. He said, why don't we have a system? And then I told him, I said, you were working on it, and, there's UFO Talk, UFO Data.
It's the age-old question. It's like trying to hunt a needle in a stack of needles. You have to know where to set these systems up, and you have to have portable versions, and then you have to have static versions in areas that you know have a higher percentage or chance of having repeatable events, like events in a single geologic area, if you will, or geographic area. And then use the UFOTOG approach, which is more of a quick dispatch team, kind of like a monitoring team that's sent to an ongoing flap of activity, that's maybe erupting somewhere in the Midwest or wherever. So there are a couple of approaches. And then, of course, having a UFOQ sat, whatever, somehow monitoring particular hotspot areas that we have a better chance of recording activity.
Right. Yeah, I think all those are, especially if you could do all of them together.
Yeah, it's money, it's budget. Something like this, we're talking, just for our particular, we're going to be doing a $100,000 GoFundMe campaign as soon as we get up. The base station camera's up and has produced some footage. So we have the net live feed on. When we get to that point, we're then going to do a GoFundMe effort and do a real serious attempt at raising the kind of funds that it would take to get a full three camera package with accompanying three camera forward looking infrared.
Well, I definitely hope you're successful.
yeah, we've been working on it 10 years. It's a lot more difficult than people think, and the optical stuff is not the only data we're going after. We're going after magnetic, gravitational. We want to split up light spectra into light into spectra. With blaze gratings and things of that sort. Extremely low frequency recordings would be acoustic. Prints, that sort of thing would be great. So even having a dedicated aimed pulse kind of slit radar, active radar. There's other things that we'd like to do along with the optical stuff. The optical stuff is just is for the great unwashed masses. The other pieces of gear for scientists.
Right. Yeah. You'd think the government would be doing something like that. Of course, they probably are.
Well, they are down in White Sands at Oscura Peak. At least they have done down there.
We've got to go right now because we're out of time. That was such a quick session with Robert Powell, and I hope we'll have him on for a full PowerCast episode in the near future. In the meantime, would you tell our listeners if they want to know more about what you and MUFON are doing, where do they go?
They would just go to MUFON.com.
They have, by the way, digital memberships now in addition to the print version of the magazine. So if you don't want print stuff, and I don't know why we don't like print anymore, you have your options. You can also check out the stuff we have to offer. We are on Twitter. I know it's a big thing now. You know, when you say something on Twitter and everybody knows it, we have a Twitter presence. You look for The PowerCast, and so far we don't send grand pronouncements. We mostly tell you about the shows. We also have a Facebook presence, and we have two official PowerCast fan clubs on Facebook. One's a community, one's a group, so check out one or both. We also have that second radio show called After the PowerCast, and to find out more about it, you have to be a member of the PowerCast Plus, or at least check the information at plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. Starts at $1.49 a week. We offer subscriptions up to the rest of your life and my life. And remember, the PowerCast has been here nearly 11 years already, and we're just raring to go. Go to plus.thepowercast.com. Real good news, by the way, Chris O'Brien's site, OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. He started posting new updates after about a year or a year and a half. So he's used his recovery period to make that site better than ever. So check it out. Thanks, Chris. Robert Powell, thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thanks, guys.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.